Hebrews chapter 10. You don't look very excited. I am very excited because, wow, Hebrews chapter 10. This is the glory of the This is the glory of the New Testament believer. You are given grace. You are given the Holy Spirit. It's imputed in you. Now you can live it out. There's grace. There is power. Power is in walking out in the Spirit. Do you get it? It excites me a lot because, wow, I actually can be perfectly holy in this age. I have the ability. It's all within me right now. It's an issue of how to walk it out. That's why if I have time today, I'm going to make you pray in tongues for a while and teach you what to do, because it's learning how to walk in the Spirit and let it come out. Do you pray in tongues? No, I'm not just I'm talking about the biblical way of praying in tongues. Even a lot of times we pray in tongues, we don't pray in the biblical way. The Bible says you pray in the pray with the Spirit and pray with understanding. Your mind should never be blanked. That's not praying in tongues. You know, you think praying in tongues is to take a break. Oh, I'm so tired right now. Run out of work, pray in tongues. That's not praying in tongues. That's why it can be tiring. Because a lot of our practice is not biblical. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 16. Do you know that this is our inheritance? Our inheritance is that we can be victorious. Our inheritance is that we can live out perfect holiness. That is our inheritance. That is the new covenant. That's what Paul, I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, talks about when he said that this is the covenant. This is the promise I will make with them. Basically, he quotes from Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. This is the covenant, or rather, this is the promise that I will make with them. I will put my law, or I will put my word into their heart and their mind. What do you mean by put their law into their heart? That means squeeze right in, digitalize? No, because of the Spirit that we receive. If you throw in Romans 8, now we walk according to the law of the Spirit. God has put the law in our heart. Our heart or our inner man is empowered to walk out this law. God has put the law in our mind. That's where Paul talks about in Romans 12. Renew your mind with the word. This is the promise because of grace. Write this down. I put the statement. Write this down. You've got to get this right. New covenant is not the abolishment of law. Listen, I'm going to give you a scripture. New covenant is not the abolishment of the law. New covenant is the giving of the Holy Spirit by the grace of God so that we can live out the law requirement of God. That is the new covenant. Aren't you excited? The glory is not you can sin and you are forgiven. The glory is you can be perfect. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Be perfect, just as the Father in heaven is perfect because of grace. Do you want me to say it one more time? And you're not so keen. It's okay. I will say one more time for myself. I'm excited. I don't care how you feel. New covenant is not the abolishment of the law, but the giving of the Holy Spirit by the grace of God so that we can live out the law requirement of God. Do you realize that? Have you ever think about it? Do you know that in the Old Testament time, not everybody gets the Holy Spirit? Do you realize that? Only the key person, like Moses, David, so on. That's why when Moses chose a few wise men to help him to judge, God has to take the spirit of Moses to put upon that, whatever, how many number of wise men that's given to Moses. Because he need to take the spirit of God that is deposited upon Moses, that is right now put upon the wise men that choose to help Moses to govern. But do you know right now, because of new covenant, because of grace, all of us have the Spirit. Do you know where is the Spirit? Here. here. Do you know that? Hear me out. Then this is crucial. Do you know that? How many of you heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Do you know that you can be as anointed as Reinhard Bonnke? Do you know that you can be as godly and holy as Reinhard Bonnke? You can. It's learning to tap into that grace, the spirit that's dwell in you. You can. That's called grace. Grace. I'm sharing these two. One is for our own house so that we must not accept where we are. We can be victorious. That's why you need to renew your mind, because we say, I'm sinner, I'll struggle. Cut that out. Renew your mind. You have a new nature. You can be victorious. They say, yeah, lying. No, I'm not brainwashing you. I'm renewing your mind. That's what the scripture says. Write down Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 to verse 20. That's where Jesus said, I came not to abolish the law. I came to fulfill. I came to live it out. I came to teach you how to live out the law. That's why Jesus said, whoever who teaches people don't have to live out the law, you'll be called the least. Whoever who teaches people to live out the law, you'll be called the greatest. Matthew 5, verse 17 to verse 20. Second error. Let me answer the second error. Common error. Because, 8:50, I have to go fast. Because of grace, okay, write this down, the second error. Because of grace, there is no need for repentance. Grace has covered it all. You can sin all you want. That's not true. That's not true. Let me give you five principles of salvation. Crucial. Because this pertains to us about grace. See, the key is this. There is no gift of salvation if there's no repentance. Hear me out. Repentance is not just saying sorry. Do you know what is repentance? Repentance, that means you were turned. There's no true gift of salvation if there's no repentance. Write this now. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. I'm pushing something. Hear me out. You know, we always teach people, just say the sinner's prayer, today you die, you go to heaven. You know, that's not exactly true. That's not exactly true. Unless in your heart, you sincerely have repented. I give you some tests of a true believer. Paul says, examine yourself. Okay. Five principles of salvation. It all pertains to repentance. That's why when you come out of this grace teaching, say, there's no need to repent right now. Grace has covered it all. Jesus died for all on the cross. Sin all you want, you're forgiven. You are forgiven only if you confess your sin. 1 John 1:9. And I'm talking about sincere. And if you sincerely repent, there is a change of attitude. You know, we write on this, yeah, I'm sorry, God. Then you sin all you want. Do you know that is not sincere repentance? Give me five principles of salvation. This is crucial because it's pertaining on the era of grace teaching where don't need to repent. It's okay. Grace has covered it all. Jesus has, you know, Jesus has paid for us on the cross. You have to go and take it. You know, how do you go and take it? Repentance. I give you a lot of verses about repentance. Anyone tell you there's no need to repent? That's a problem with grace, wrong grace message teaching. Make people comfortable. They don't even have a sense of guilt when they sin. I tell you, this is crazy. This is wrong. No, there's a difference between guilt and sin. I'll tell you what's the difference. Sometimes it's okay to feel a little bit of guilt. Just don't get into shame. Okay, five principles of salvation. And they say, I hope that you all hear this before, because this is a basic, fundamental Christian teaching. Okay, five principles of salvation. Firstly is this, simple one. We are justified. We are justified. It's because we freely receive the gift of righteousness. We freely receive salvation because of what Jesus done for us on the cross, okay? Not because on our own work, okay? We are justified if we turn to God. Please understand that, okay? I'm not talking about earning your salvation. Write down these few verses. First one is, we are justified, okay? Freely receive gift of righteousness and gift of salvation. Okay, Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to verse 31. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to verse 31. Okay, not because of our work, okay? It's because Jesus has died for us on the cross. He covered everything. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 5. Second principle. Now, it's so basic, we got it wrong, by and large, in the body of Christ. But this is fundamental in how you are going to lead people to Christ too. A lot of time, we are not really leading people to Christ. We are getting them to the church to fill up the seat. That is scary. I've done that before. I was a pastor for many years. Yeah, grow. Just say the sinner's prayer. Come. Say the sinner's prayer. It's okay after that. Have we got them saved? Not really. Second principle of salvation. We are accepted by God only on the basis of grace. We are accepted by God only on the basis of grace. That means we are accepted by God because of His grace. Not finished. Write this down. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. We will receive this acceptance based on grace, and it's based on the sincerity of our repentance. Again, it's not works. Later, I will give you some verses. The fact even we can repent, do you know it's work of grace? Yeah. We are accepted by God only on the basis of His grace, and it's based on the sincerity of our repentance. It's always about repentance. That's called grace. I mean, imagine you just say, sorry, you truly forgive. Then God wipe out everything. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Luke chapter 13, verse 8. Third principle. This is crucial. Right, this must write specifically because it's a huge difference. Third principle. Have you heard this before? Saving grace? No. Saving faith and active faith. Do you know the difference? Oh, you don't know the difference? Okay. Now I tell you why saving faith. Why is active faith? Okay. In our life, as a Christians, we have two kinds of faith working. One is saving faith. It's the faith that you believe in Jesus, immediately you are saved. That is called saving faith. There's another dimension called active faith. That means outworking. You see, unfortunately, most of us don't have active faith. Most of us only have saving faith. You know why we don't have active faith? We are not working out our salvation. We are not activating the faith, the grace that we have. You get what I'm saying? There's a difference between saving faith and active faith. Most of us, our faith is dormant after we get saved. All we have is saving faith. It's still grace because it's the grace of God that we are convicted by the Holy Spirit and we repent. But we never activate our faith. We stop short there and we become dormant. You know, dormant, eventually you're backslide. I'll tell you, give you reason. Okay, write down this third principle. Now you know the difference between saving faith and active faith. That's why I always pray. That's why Paul said this. There are some faith is immediate. There are some faith is you grow in process. You know what is growing in process? Saving faith or active faith? Active faith. You grow from faith to faith. You have more and more faith. But saving faith is imputed immediately because of grace, conviction of the Holy Spirit. Oh, you see Jesus. Oh, save me. By faith you are saved. That is saving faith. Listen to the third principle. Now you realize there's a difference between saving faith and active faith. You know, a lot of our faith are not active. That's why we don't have life. No, life, and not, no, I'm not talking about energetic or whatever, life in the spirit. That's where we have to activate the faith. Saving, third principle, better go. I think no time to ask questions. Third principle, key. Saving faith is always accompanied by genuine repentance. The key is always genuine repentance. Saving faith is always, you must write this out, this is crucial. There is no salvation if there's no genuine repentance. No, there's no grace if you do not sincerely repent. Not that Jesus doesn't want to give you grace, because there's no sincerity in repentance. Saving faith is always accompanied by genuine repentance. Give you all the verses. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. Luke chapter 24, verse 47. Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 2, verse 38. Acts 3, verse 19. Acts 3, verse 19. Acts 17, verse 30. Acts 17, verse 30. Acts 20, verse 21. Acts talks a lot about repentance. Okay. Acts 20, verse 21. Last one. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 9. I say it. Sincere or true repentance always means you turn from your sin. No, I'm not saying that. That means you have total victory. You will fight. You are sincere about, you want to turn from the sin. Not this trick thing. Oh, I know if I forgive, I ask for forgiveness, God will forgive my sin. I'll say, oh, I'm sorry, God. But actually, you have no desire to change. If you have no desire to turn, you know that that's not sincere repentance? No, I'm not talking about struggle. We all will struggle. Struggle is a good thing. But if you have no struggle at all, you sin all you want, that's not true repentance. True and sincere repentance means you will turn from sin, okay? It will result progressively. Change of your heart attitude. It will. Give you some verses. Luke 3. Luke 3, verse 7 to 8. Luke chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. Acts 26. Verse 18 to 20. Acts 26, verse 18 to 20. No, I'm giving you a lot of verses because you need to go back and read it on your own so that you can understand and you are confident enough to present the case for God, not for One Thing Ministry. Don't do it for One Thing Ministry. Okay? You need to be the voice eventually. So I'm giving you all this. It's true. That's the third principle, saving grace. Let me just say one thing. Turn with me to James 4. James 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Do you know that the fact that you have the ability to repent itself is the grace of God? Just write down these two verses. Then I'll run through James chapter 4 for you. The fact that you have the ability to repent is the work of grace. Acts 11 verse 18. Acts 11, verse 18. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. 2 Timothy 2, verse 25. Because these two verses talk about the ability to repent itself is a work of grace. Because the Holy Spirit convicts us. And the key is this. Listen. The key is every time God convicts you, they listen carefully. It's true. Every time God convicts you or someone tell it to you, you have to respond. Because if you respond out of humility, do you know what will happen? God give you more grace. If you do not respond, your heart become harder and harder. When you sin, do you know that there's a Holy Spirit within you will cry out, make you uncomfortable? You have to respond. If you respond, God will give you grace. Grace to overcome, and there'll be more grace. But if you do not, it'll be harder and harder. Go to James chapter 4. Because this is vital. Because every time we teach this, we thought it's about drawing near to God. More than just drawing near to God, it's about overcoming sin and responding to grace. James 4, verse 5. James 4, the context is friendship to God will be enemy to the world. Enemy to the world will friendship to God. But verse 5, James chapter 4, James said this. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit who dwells in you, what? Yearns jealously. He will warn you. He will give you grace so that you will repent. Verse 6. But he gives more grace. Basically, you know why he gives more grace? If you respond, God will give you more grace. If you do not respond, your heart will slowly become hardened. That's where James talked about double-minded. You see, a lot of our problem is not hardening of the heart. A lot of our problem is double-mindedness. We want to love God. We want to love the world. We want both things. That's called double-minded. But God said, be single-minded, wholly devoted. The Spirit will convict you. If you respond, there will be more grace. That's why James quote this, God resists the proud, but give grace to the humble. That means you know what? If you are proud, you resist, there'll be no grace. If you are humble, you respond, God will give you even more grace. Read all the way until verse 10. It's talking about grace. Okay, give you the fourth principle of salvation. Four principle. The fourth one. Listen to this one. This is really a mark. No, it's a test. Okay. You say, don't judge me about my salvation. Do you know the Bible talks about you better evaluate yourself all the time, whether you are saved. Okay. Fourth principle. That's why this grace thing about everything is forgiven. No, you better test yourself. Do you know you can lose your salvation? The Bible talks about it. Fourth principle. Obedience is an essential evidence of genuine saving faith. If you are genuinely saved, there is a certain degree or certain measure and certain desire to obey God. If you totally have no desire to obey God, you sin all you want, you don't care, that's not grace. Grace has not set you free. You are not saved. Okay? Obedience is an essential evidence of genuine saving faith. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. Write this down. Go and read. No, I'm scared for many. They don't care. You sure you are saved? I'm going to go some more. Later I'll give you true tests of believer. There are three tests of believer. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. No, I say, wow, you're very hard. No, I'm gracious. I'm trying to give you grace. I better tell you now. Until one day, say, hey, gee, I'm not saved, but Kejong, you never tell me. You better check now all the time. No, I'm not talking about so easily you lose your salvation, but we can lose our salvation. You sure you're walking right with God? I'm going to turn to one verse later. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 4. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 3 to 4. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I know that I'm sharing a very uncomfortable message. That's what the gospel is about. No, not to make you hurt or whatever. Do you know that that's why the Bible is a double-edged sword? It cuts. But it's to set you free. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Paul says this. Listen to this one. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. What do you mean by in the faith? Are you still saved? Examine yourself. Test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Then Paul says this. Unless indeed you are disqualified. What do you mean by you are disqualified? What? Go and think. I don't even need to answer for you. What do you mean that you are disqualified? Or you better test yourself whether you are still in the faith. No, this is not talking about change church, no. Today you are new creation. Tomorrow you are City Harvest. No, he's not talking about that. When he say, are you still in the faith? Are you? You better test yourself. You better examine yourself. Because salvation life thing is a living thing. It's not just an entitlement like you're buying a car. What do you call it? CEO or COE? COE. You're not just getting a certificate of entitlement. Your salvation is a relationship with God. It's faith. You have to keep it going. Of course, it's not that hard because of grace. It's not hard. That's why his yoke is easy. His burden is light. But you have to test, okay? Fifth principle. Then I give you three tests. Fifth principle that knock out about this. Because of grace, there's no need for repentance. You sin all you want. You go and sin all you want and you have no guilt. You're in trouble. You better ask someone to pray for you. It's true. No, I'm saying this out of love. People, if someone can tell you, yeah, go and sin all you want, sin all you want. God loves you. You know he's telling him the lie? Sin all you want. God loves you. Grace has covered it all. No, he's not. He's pressing him for grace. I know. Yeah, it's true, it's true. Don't laugh. It's true. Fifth one. Saving faith. Reveal Jesus as Lord. And will lead us to receive him as king of our life. Do you know that's what the gospel is about? What's the gospel about? The gospel is about the kingdom. You enter the kingdom of God when you say the sinner's prayer, you subject yourself under the king. Jesus is king. We are totally his. You should have a certain measure of you are giving yourself to Jesus. No, it's not just about your 10% of money. That means everything belongs to him. Just write this down. No time to run through. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18 to 20, where it talks about now Jesus owns us all. He owns our money, he owns our time, he owns our heart. He wants everything. That's why I always say this. Do you know that you've searched a whole four gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. There's no one instant Jesus asking for your commitment. No one time. Do you know what Jesus is asking for? You surrender it all. Go and study carefully. You know, we always say, church always say, be committed, be committed. No, surrender it, not to the church. Surrender it to Jesus. That's how you should sing this song, all to Jesus I surrender. A lot of times you should sing, all to Jesus I surrender. Come to the chorus, it's not I surrender all. No, a lot of times it's I surrender some. Because you haven't surrendered it all. But what gospel of kingdom is, he wants you to surrender all. He's not looking for your commitment. He's looking for you to give everything to him. But of course, he's a good king. Okay, he's not Saddam Hussein. He's not Cuba guys who Fidel Castro and so on. He's a good king, but he owns you all.